Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Amazing thing. And thank you, Brains, for getting Puberty 101 with us here on the edge. Right here at the spot, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And we are in Italy. We'll talk more about that later with Tracy Rampling Brown. So, you know, we were talking about, sharing the wisdom of womanhood and the transition and the rites of passage. You've got a young daughter, I've got young granddaughters, and their cycle. But I told them there's so many other things, not just pregnancy and counting that, but your internal health. If there's a strange odor, if there's a strange cramp, if there's a lot of bleeding, if there's, you know, discomfort, if you're constipated, it tells so much you're shedding at that time. And so we as mothers need to teach our daughters or grandmothers or aunts or cousins. This is not a secret. This is a part of a woman's life every day for at least 20 to 40 years of their life. They're going to go through this. And a woman's right to choose. I have an emotional feeling about that. But I also am a strong proponent of education and prevention. And if you can dodge the bullet, there's so many things that are going on now. You know, the patch and the shot and the pill and the not doing it. And the contraceptive. It's a lot. My mother made my transition into womanhood seem so special. She sat down and she talked to me before it happened and told me little things to expect and how precious I was and how I was going through this rite of passage that, I mean, she just made it seem glowing. And then when it happened, girl, I was like, what the hell? You tricked me.
The ultimate betrayal.
Exactly. I was like, this is not what you told me. This is a right to hell. This is not a right to passage. This is crazy. But you know what? As I grew and I evolved and I became a mother, it really, really, it was special. It was really special. And I think back on that. When you have those conversations with your daughter, do you see her eyes light up with wonderment?
So my daughter and I actually first started talking about, reproduction when she was about 7. Mm-hmm. Because the year that she turned 7, 2 of my girlfriends got pregnant, but they both got pregnant using a form of assisted reproduction. So one of them was still the old-fashioned way where they actually had sex, but their doctors had been monitoring the cycles and things like that.
You call that the old-fashioned way? That is the best.
Well, no, like, as in, you know, like, there was, you know.
Call it traditional. Please don't call it old-fashioned. I love it.
Okay.
You're funny.
When I say old-fashioned, I mean as opposed to the other girlfriend where it was a case of they were monitoring her cycle. When she was ovulating, she had to go into the doctors. They extracted the ovum.
Oh, yes.
They inseminated it, and then they injected it back in through the same cycle, right? So they did it kind of like
IVF. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it was like IUI or something. Anyway, whatever it was, the point is, because they had both gotten pregnant differently, and my daughter was asking questions, of, you know, like, as they do, where do babies come from? And like, can we have another baby? And so we started talking. There was no point in trying to gloss over where babies come from. And we talked about how there are lots of different ways that you can get pregnant. And sometimes it's because you have sex, and sometimes it's because that doesn't work and you have to go and have doctors help you do those things.
Right.
And But I then took it back further and I was talking about how women's bodies work and how, you know, the ovaries and how the egg descends into the uterus and, you know, like all the actual mechanics of it and talking about periods and things like that so that she had a firm understanding and grounding in it. So then when she got to about 10, she was in the fifth grade, they, during health classes at school, they must have been talking about puberty or adolescence and things like that. And she came home with this little coupon to go to one of the like menstrual product companies and sign up for their Libra Girl kit or Kotex Girl or something like that, where they sent her out a little zippered bag that had, you know, some tampons and some pads and some little, just, you know, some sample products. And when I was a teenager, when I was about 12, my mum had made me a little dilly bag, which was the same kind of thing, like one of those little toilet bags from the department store, and put some pads and everything in it. So, and it just lived in my school bag so that it was always there if and when I needed it. So my daughter had this little sample kit and we swapped out some of the things. Like we took the tampons out because she wasn't going to need those for her first period for sure. But we topped it up with extra bits and pieces and it went into her bag from pretty much the time she was 10. Not because she needed it yet, but it was there when she, you know, if she ever did. And when she started middle school, it turned out to be, I had such a proud mama bear moment because she told me afterwards that about 2 months into the school year, her best friend actually got her period at school and her mum hadn't told her anything about it, hadn't prepared her. And my daughter was able to go into her school bag and grab her little dilly bag out and give it to her bestie and be like, here you go, you know, like, take this to the bathroom and, you know, like you can sort yourself out kind of thing.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh, and here's my daughter like saving her bestie because
exactly.
We had had this conversation and, you know, so we talked about lots of things, you know, we've tried cloth pads and we've tried period undies. She prefers period undies to any of the other things that we've tried.
See, but I don't even know what that is. I haven't even seen it. So, but it's a lot going into it. But also I'm hoping that mothers that have young sons are teaching them to respect and value women.
Yeah.
Respect and value themselves. I told my stepson, you don't lay down with dogs because you could get up with fleas, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to keep yourself clean and be monogamous. This is, you know, this is the most, one of the most powerful things that you will ever do. Outside of driving a car.
Absolutely. Well, see, and that's the thing. Like, she's 14 now. So we had some really good foundational conversations in the early days. But now she's at that age where she's just like, oh, my God, Mom, you are so cringe. So when you're like, do her eyes light up? You know, is it magical? No, no. She's like, oh, God, get out of my room. Like, I can't talk to you about this right now.
I know. But you know what? It's got to be an ongoing dialogue because things are different now. You know, we're talking about date rape. We're talking about, you know, just all kind of influences, you know, drugs, peer pressure, body dysmorphia. All of that leads to self-esteem. But you have done an amazing. We were talking about that, but it all leads into what she's doing as a publisher. She has just launched her own publishing house, and I'm so proud of her. That takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of courage. But this is Gemini Moon Press. And what they're doing there is they're really working with women to magnify their voice. You know, as me and Tracy were talking, they've rescinded the right in some states, you know, to a woman to make a choice about her own body. So we want to talk about giving credence to your voice if it's been dumbed down. If you want to share it with the world, you can do it in print. She also has some lunar wisdom that she is able to connect with sources outside of the physical, but in the metaphysical. What does that look like? What does that feel like when you have a portal, when you have a sense of something outside of the tangible things that we can touch? So I'm so glad to have her here. Thank you for joining me, Tracy Brown. Tell my brains a little bit more about you and how you show up in the world, Queen.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you, April. So my name is Tracy Rampling Brown, and I am a lunar business strategist, moonologer, and CEO and founder of Gemini Moon Press. And despite the fact that all of those things talk about the moon, I don't only publish things about the moon. I am here, as April said, to amplify the voices of women. In fact, people who bleed in general. So that includes the voices of non-binary and trans men, because their voices matter too. Mm-hmm. And it's really all about connecting with our sacred ancestral and divine feminine wisdom, because over time we have been so conditioned to stay silent because it's not safe for us to speak our truth, because no one's interested in hearing what we have to say, because we're just women, what would we know? And these things that we have known, these things that have been intrinsically part of us, like our understanding our menstrual cycles, for example, and working with the lunar cycles and also how those two things connect together, are things that women have lost over time. And so many women are really feeling that need to reconnect with those things and reconnect with themselves, because the only way that we can empower ourselves is by knowing who we are at our very core. And so I'm really super passionate about bringing women together so that we can stop hoarding these things as secret for ourselves, so that we can stop feeling afraid of criticism, judgment, and persecution, and so that we can actually pool and share our knowledge and create that opportunity for other women to reconnect back in and reconnect with themselves.
And know yourself inside and out. Feel good about whatever you see in the mirror on any given day, because that's who you are. Tell us a little bit about your work with the moon and lunar, because the moon has an effect on me like no other. When it's a full moon, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I to sit out there and just enjoy the energy, or stay here and shut the door and don't let anybody in. it has an amazing effect on me. It really does.
Oh, and it is like we all, like so many of us really feel it tangibly, right? It is something that we cannot deny. Even if science cannot 100% prove that there is a connection between, so let me just back up a minute. We understand, people generally, science understands that the moon's gravitational pull affects things like the tides, right? It affects when it is a full moon, we have high tides and things like that. When the moon is close to the earth, we have high tides. When it's far away from the earth, we have low tides. These are things that are not in dispute, right? Scientists can prove that. Fishermen know that. It's well known for hundreds and thousands of years. What we feel and what we know is that as human beings, we are also made up of about 80% water. And we feel this same gravitational energetic pull ourselves. Mm. However, science has been unable to actually definitively prove that this is the case. However, and I do love science, don't get me wrong.
No, I mean, and but I like that. That was a great explanation. That really was.
So when the way that the lunar cycle works in general is that at the new moon, that is when the sun and the moon are in the same part of the sky. So the reason we cannot see the moon is because it's full daylight for a start, but you can't see it because we can't look directly at the sun, right? Everybody tells you when you're a little kid, don't look at the sun, it's going to burn your eyes. So you can't see the moon because it's in the shadow of, well, like the sun is shining on and we're seeing the dark side of the moon. And so we don't actually see its light. The new moon is a time when, because the moon is not coming up during the nighttime, because it's up during the daytime, that it's darker, it's quieter. It's actually a time when, and they have statistically that moisture levels are actually higher in the dirt in the ground, like when it comes to agriculture and things like that. That's one of the reasons that farmers plant their seeds, which is a great metaphor for working with the moon. They plant their seeds at the new moon because the soil is more fertile for these seeds to take root. So when we work with the moon cycles at the new moon, it's a brilliant time to be setting our goals and creating our intentions and working out what it is that we want to bring into the world. What is it that we want to create? What is it that we want to change? What is it that we want to do? Because it's this time when we get to plant our seeds, right? And then as the moon starts to get visible in the sky, as it starts to get bigger, the energy is building. We have that opportunity to start taking action, because let me tell you, and this might be a hard pill for some people to swallow, manifestation doesn't work by wishing for something and hoping the universe is going to bring it to you on a silver platter.
Wait, will you say that again? Because they've got these vision boards, and you've got these coaches that can teach you how to be master manifestors. You can manifest some drama too, baby. Believe and trust.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not saying that you can't manifest things almost instantly, but what I'm saying is you have to take the action, right? You have to show the universe, God, source, whoever it is that you like to work with, that you are fully in alignment with this desire and want that you have, that you're willing to put in the work.
That's
right. If you're not willing to put in the work to have it, why should the universe just deliver it to you, you know, by courier?
And you also need to be specific with that. You know, you can't just say, oh, you know, I want a husband. Well, you know, I went down to almost how I want his nail shaped. but I've had him for 38 years. I love him. I knew, but I also, when I manifest, I also am willing to give in a sacrifice as to what I am willing to sacrifice. What conditions am I willing to edit, filter, and adjust? What am I able to recognize about myself? Because again, it is a gift that's been given to me. Someone can give you, you know, a beautiful dress, but it'd be the wrong size. They can give you a wonderful dinner out and you're allergic to fish. So you just have to be careful on what you ask for, because you just might get it. So I appreciate you, you know, you bringing that to the forefront, because I don't like to bust the chops of my guests, but I do question them on that, because, I can teach you to manifest. Well,
and I love that you actually talked about, you were specific down to the shape of his nails, because manifesting, in this case, like manifesting a husband, isn't just, well, I want to manifest a husband, but it's also not, I want to manifest, you know, whoever the flavor of the month is, you know, like Jason Momoa or, like Chris Hemsworth, because you can't be so specific that you actually limit your options.
Right.
You have to be like, what is it about Jason Momoa or Chris Hemsworth that I like about them? Is it the shape of his nails? Is it that he is very active? Is it his blonde hair? Is it his blue eyes? And instead of wishing for a person, like a specific named person, it's what are the qualities that you want to bring in?
Absolutely.
Because when we are specific about the qualities rather than the person, we actually open ourselves up to receiving, as you said, exactly what it is that we're wishing for, without, like, the universe might be like, actually, like Chris Hemsworth, well, he's married with kids and he's not available, but there's this guy who kind of looks like Chris Hemsworth and he has all of the qualities you're looking for. I'm gonna send you his way. And you're too busy looking at Chris Hemsworth and you don't even notice what's in front of you.
And know your voice. Know, you know, I want someone that's going to be kind to me. I want somebody that's going to pay the bills. I want somebody that's going to really, well, somebody that's going to appreciate me. And, you know, if I make more money than him, they're going to honor that. Somebody that maybe wants children or doesn't want children. Brains, you need to have a laundry list and you need to tick off the boxes. And I'm telling you, it works.
And that is so important, that with the whole, the way that he treats you, it's all good and well to say, well, I want a man who can be a good provider, but there's no point having a man who's a good provider if he treats you like crap, right? That's you need to have somebody, as you said, that if I make more money than him, respects that and loves that about me.
Right. you know, and pushes you. I want a dream catcher, not a dream crusher.
Yes.
So have you published anyone yet thus far?
So I've actually got a book project in the works at the moment. So I'm currently taking on contributing authors for a project that is all, it's called Lunar Wisdom, Reconnecting with the Divine Feminine Reconnecting with the Divine Feminine through Rituals, Spells, Magic, and the Phases of the Moon.
Oh, and you gonna put some hocus pocus on them?
I am, because so there are actually going to be two parts to this book. So the first part is that each of the authors is coming in to share their story, their personal story about what inspired them to work with the moon, what their moon practice looks like, you know, how they do it. Do they work with astrology? Do they work with shamanic practices? Do they work with crystals? Do they work with herbs? You know, like, what do they work with? Sacred womb wisdom? Like, what is it that they incorporate into their moon practice, and what does that look like? And the second part is, because as amazing it is and absolutely expansive as it is to listen to and read other women's stories, because I find them so inspiring when I hear people talking about different ways that they work with the moon, that there is always something I can learn and always something that I can take away and start incorporating into my own practices with the moon. And I really want to highlight for all of the readers that there is no one way to do it. There is no wrong way to do it. There's only the way that you do it that is right for you, right? And everybody's way is going to be a little bit different. So the second part of the book, which is the part that I'm also really super thrilled about, is that each of the authors, aside from sharing their stories, is actually going to share some practical information for the readers on how they can get started and what they can do. So I've got, you know, one of my authors is coming to share some of her crystal wisdom, like which crystals would be amazing to use to work with the different phases of the moon. One of my authors is works with astrology and also the overarching seasonal wheel of the year. So she's going to talk about not just working with the different zodiac signs or whatever, but how you can work with the moon throughout, you know, spring and summer and autumn and winter, and really harness those energies throughout the whole of the year. One of my other authors is an amazing, she's actually a visibility consultant, but she created a whole planner about how you can plan your visibility, like your podcast interviews, your magazine features and things like that, based on the phases of the moon. Like, when's the best time to book your podcasts? When's the best time to like try and seek your things, and how you can actually plan out your whole media visibility strategy using the lunar cycles?
That's brilliant.
So I'm so excited.
I can't wait to get in contact with her. But that's another thing, Brains, you need to have a strategy. You can't, you know, and part of my strategy is throwing everything against the wall. I do a lot of brain dumps. You should see the other side of my studio. It's stickies everywhere because life is a puzzle and we need to be able to put it together. But sometimes we have so much in this brain that's running around constantly that we cannot hear our inner voice, that we are not leaving capacity and space for growth, development, and maturity. Maturity does not stop at the age of puberty. Maturity is going on. You know, you have to grow into who you are. You're going to have to grow into your 40s, your 50s, your 60s. I'm going to be 60. In a couple weeks. Who the hell does that? But what I have found is a new level of maturity, to be unapologetic, but to also be respectful and to be more subdued, because I don't have to compete. I don't have to fight. I don't have to argue. I just do it. And I just have to accept it, you know, and I have to know that I'm responsible for my actions. But also at this point in my life, I'm a teacher. I have a responsibility to reach back and pull forward, reach out and embrace others that are struggling.
Disadvantage, I love that.
You know, the overlooked and underserved. I like how you mentioned transgenders. it's a different world. I remember my parents taking me to see Sojourner Truth's movie. It was the first transgender, I think, that came out publicly like I said, that was 50 years ago. And they have been suppressed and held down. I can only imagine what you go through when you feel, you know, that you are in a body outside of what everything else is telling you, and then how you are perceived and received by society. So thank you for embracing that population, because diversity, equity, and inclusion means not just acknowledging me, but also giving me a seat at the table.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, it's giving people a voice, no matter who they are or what their backgrounds and stories. And look, when I say people who bleed, I specifically am not including biological men in this, because there are lots of forums where men can share their voices. The whole system is set up so that men can share their voices, but it is the marginal communities, the minority communities, including women, that need the extra support. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, trans men fall into a separate category, because their voices are important, and I don't believe that they're getting to share their stories safely either.
They're not, but there's such a heightened sense of awareness now on the community. And I get confused when I look at the alphabet soup of the gay community, LGBTQ+A, I don't understand it. And sometimes I don't understand what being gay is. A lot of people don't understand. You know, it's a lifestyle. It's an adjustment. But it's how you get down. And if you like it, I love it.
I don't think we can be more clear than saying that love is love.
Right.
You know, whoever you love is, you know, like, that's just, it just is.
How
it doesn't
it
matter
there
who
in,
they are.
How is that in Europe? Do you have the right to gay marriage? And, you know, how do people, because I can tell you one thing about Europeans. They're not afraid or shy about their body. They will lay out on the and you can weigh 300 pounds and you be topless and just as happy, and nobody has anything to say. You're more liberal and loving and respectful of the human body and sexuality than us prudish, you know, hypocritical Americans.
I have to say, coming from Australia to Italy was quite eye-opening. I didn't realize how prudish Australians are until I got to Italy, because in Australia, if you're 300 pounds and you want to wear a bikini to the beach, everyone's like, oh God, cover that up. Nobody wants to see that. Whereas here, as you say, like, no one cares. You're 5 years old. You're 55 years old. You're 95 years old. No one cares. Everyone's in a bikini down at the beach. In fact, if you're in a one piece, probably you stand out more than if you've got a bikini on,
right. Because
everyone's just out there and no one's even looking at each other. Like, they don't even care. They're not like, oh my God, look at her in her bikini. They don't care about you. They're just there to enjoy the sun and the sand and the surf. Not that there's really surf, but anyway. But going back to what you were saying about gay marriage and things, I think it depends where in Europe you are. Here in Italy, it is still quite a patriarchal society and very religious based country. And I think that it has taken a really long time for them to catch up with the modern world. And so while there are lots of LGBTQ people in Italy, but I do know that a lot of people in the community don't necessarily feel safe to be public about their things. That isn't to say, I'm pretty sure that gay marriage is actually legal here. A lovely lesbian couple that I know actually got married last weekend.
Oh, okay.
So I'm pretty sure it is legal, but I don't actually know the legalities of their
right.
But I do know that especially for gay men here, it can be very hard because also family expectations of their sons to play soccer and marry a good girl and pop out lots of babies and carry on the family name is really still heavily ingrained.
And Italian mothers are just like, you know, they're tough. they're tough. They do. They want it their way. But again, it's tradition. They're trying to keep their lineage. They're trying to keep that tradition. But we have to evolve because things are changing. And if we believe the text that we read, be it your Bible, your Quran, mine is the Bible, there was a Old Testament and there is a New Testament. So there is validation that there is a change.
Yeah.
That there is something that is going to precede what has preceded.
Yeah.
So let me ask you some fun questions, Tracy. This is my favorite part of the interview. If you were an appliance in the kitchen, what appliance would you be and why?
Oh, such a juicy question. If I were an appliance in the kitchen, I think I would probably have to be a Thermomix. I don't know if you know what a Thermomix is.
Yeah, it's like a Vitamix.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Vitamix, but you can cook in it and stuff as well. So I have had one for nearly 10 years and I absolutely adore it because it's so good to like, I can do anything. I can make custards or I can make sorbets and things like that. So it kind of does everything that I need in the kitchen, including just weighing things. Like even if I'm not using it to cook, I use it to weigh out ingredients for other things. So that's probably what I would be.
I'd be the spice grinder.
You like it spicy, don't you?
Yes, I do. I like to chop it up, mix it up, and make it spicy. I do.
I love it.
Yep. What's your favorite color?
Pink. It took me a long time to actually embrace that, though, because, so, I mean, you can see, like, I have a lot of pink behind me.
I know, and I was looking at your top. You got some pink there.
It has taken me a long time to embrace it. I remember being about 7 years old and being told, like, had my pink bedspread and everything, but was really made to feel ashamed of that because only babies liked pink. And so for many, many years after that, I kind of, like, pushed pink away, like, ooh, that's pink, and went very much into, you know, that teenage kind of semi-goth phase where you're like, I like black and silver. I wear black and silver and maybe like a hint of blue or purple or something like that. But I've particularly this last 12 months or so, I'm like, no, you know what? It is my power color and I'm a claimant and I'm not going to feel guilty about saying it out loud anymore. So I'm owning it, pink.
Green is my favorite color, any shade of green. It's a power color too. What planet are you from?
What planet am I not from?
Oh, that's beautiful. I think I'm from like Jupiter. I'm way out there. But I've got the rings around me. I've got the energy around me. I've got the force. I've got the pull. I've got the drive. I've got the
gumption. You know, they do say that Jupiter is the planet of luck. So
I'm telling
good
you.
Choice.
I told you how I got my trip to Italy. So, you know, it's like luck, but you have to be prepared for that because a lot of times people get things, as we talked about manifestation, and you're not ready for it. People will win the lottery and end up broke. You know, people will get a kidney and go right back to drinking alcohol, you know? So you have to be prepared to receive what it is that you are about to get. What has been one of your most favorite gifts? It could be a physical gift, metaphysical gift, energetic gift. What's been one of your favorite gifts?
Probably one of my favorite gifts that I have ever received, ever, would have to be something that happened to me only a couple of weeks ago. My two best friends here in Turin got together and surprised me for my birthday, which was actually in a couple of weeks, and took me to Milan for Girls Weekend, and we went to the Imagine Dragons concert, and we went out dancing and got to leave the husband and the kids home. And it's the first time since the pandemic started that I've actually even left like my regional, like my state. And to go away for a girls trip was just, it was phenomenal, because it was so freeing and just like low-key awesome.
What are some of the values that you find in a friend? What are three characteristics that you look for in a friend?
I am a big believer in loyalty, like genuine loyalty.
You must be a Leo. Are you a Leo?
No, I'm a Cancer. So I love very deeply. I am all in for people, and I will give everything that I have got. I value loyalty. I value integrity and being, you know, like if you are the person that you say you are and that you follow, like that you are constantly walking in authenticity of, you know, like your words match your actions, so you're not constantly
flip-flopping
or like saying one thing but then actually not living that truth.
Yeah, indecisive.
Or saying what you think people want to hear but that you don't actually believe, and things like that. So
going along to get along.
Loyalty, integrity, and also I guess some spontaneous fun, like just kind of like a little bit left of center, you know, maybe a little bit quirky, a little bit weird, like allowing your freak flag to fly, you know, like let's just have some fun, you know, like be able to have some laughs over whether it's something stupid or just be like, oh my goodness, let's go do this. Oh yes, let's go and do that. Like that sounds awesome.
I love it. What are three things that you can absolutely not live without? That you can't live without?
Three things I cannot live without. Oh, number one, I guess I probably these days could not live without the internet. even Google Maps saves my ass all the time. I couldn't live without probably without my husband and my kids, because they ground me and they give me a sense of purpose every day. And I couldn't live without cheese.
You like cheese?
I like all the cheeses. All the cheeses.
All the cheeses. So what do you want your legacy to be, Tracy?
Well, these days I would love my legacy to be a library full of books amplifying the voices of women and women's stories that are able to be like stories that can be handed down throughout the ages and can live long after those women may not be here to share their stories in person.
That's beautiful. That is a great segue. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you and a little bit about the authors that you're looking for and the stories. Are your genre mostly, you know, novels? Are you doing a few novellas? Are you doing fiction? Tell us a little bit about that and also how to get in contact with you.
Okay, so if you're interested in writing your solo book, I am absolutely happy to discuss with you what that may be. Predominantly, I do nonfiction in my collaborative containers, but for solo authors, I am absolutely open to whatever story it is you want to share. I've currently got a lovely girl looking to produce a cookbook through us. So, you know, it can be anything, cookbook, children's books, novels, whatever. If you've got a solo project that you want to talk about, that is fine. If in terms of our collaborative containers, they give women an opportunity to dip their toes into becoming an author without having the weight of having to come up with 50,000 words worth of story. You can start from, you know, you can write as little as 3,000 words for a chapter and put that out into the world and still feel like you're sharing a significant part of your story and your wisdom. So at the moment, I'm currently looking to fill this Lunar Wisdom title that I was just mentioning before. And I'm open to people who are working with shamanism, moon circles and moon practices, who have indigenous practices that incorporate the moon, who might do Reiki or numerology, work with essential oils, work with gardening by the phases of the moon, work with sound healing, work with menstrual wisdom or womb healing, and, you know, like sacred feminine wisdom. What else? Women who might work with lunar witchcraft or astrology, any kind of practice relating where you work with the moon and whatever that looks like for you, I am looking for you to come and contribute with us. But I will have other titles coming up in the future as well. So if the Lunar Wisdom title doesn't resonate for you, but you love the mission of Gemini Moon Press and you would like to find out more about being an author with us at some point for a future title, please do feel free to come and check out our website and flick me an email or something like that and be like, oh my God, Tracy, I would love to be involved in one of your projects. This is the kind of book I would love to be a part of, because maybe I can make that happen for you and we can find other women like you who want to share your story as well. So if you would like to find out more about Gemini Moon Press, you can go to our website directly, www.geminimoonpress.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram, facebook.com/Gemini Moon Press, instagram.com/Gemini Moon Press. I'm also on LinkedIn under Tracy Rampling Brown. And you can pretty much stalk me anywhere. So feel free to look me up and find me.
We've got to find you all over the planet, okay? But all we really have to do is look to the moon. And thank you so much, because, you know, there may be a lot of planets out there, but there's not as many stars, and you are a star. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge. Brains, check it out. Get your lunar wisdom together, okay? Check it out. We're not trying to cause any controversy, but you don't know what you don't know. Okay? And you might not know enough, but then you might know too much. I don't know. Check it out. Thank you so much, Tracy, for being there. I don't know if I'm going to be able to see you when I come, but we're going to meet. We're going to meet somewhere. Maybe we'll meet in Australia. You got family in Australia? I like to go to Australia. We'll do that. Brains, I need you to meet us at this location right here where the podcast is located. There's information right here on how to email me, info@agoodperson.biz. The website, I haven't been on the website in a long time. I need to go check that out. But it's agoodperson.biz. I am on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and about 18 other outlets. Just Google me. You'll find me all over the planet. But when you Google me, connect with me, okay? Because that's so important. I want to touch you in the right kind of way. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, April. It has been an absolute pleasure.
All right. Brains, get it together. Mwah. Or as the Italians do it, let's double kiss. Mwah.